880 The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed
billions and billions
of dollars in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected. He has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guest, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right, thank you so much, as always, everybody, for tuning in on to Freed on Business, another edition. We've got a tremendous show for you today. We're going to start off with my good friend, Ross O'Brien. He's the founder and CEO of Bonaventure Equity. He's an expert in the family office space for cannabis. He's writing a book on the subject. He is the go-to source for information in this sector. And then we're going to wrap up the show with my good friend, Jeff Glusman. Jeff is a financial advisor to the NBA, the NFL, and the entertainment industry. So stick with us. We've got people at the top of their professions here to help you understand things you're really interested in and help you make your life better today. So stick with us. Wanda, take it away.
You'll never find, as long as you live, someone who loves you tender like I do. You'll never find, no matter where you search,
someone. Playing that one just for my beautiful wife, Vivian. Don't take it the wrong way, Ross, or any of the other guests, but that one's for Vivian. All right, everybody, and hey, if you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down here in Key West, they've got them all. Let me tell you, I was just up there getting my car serviced. I'm going to give a special shout-out to Mae Stark. She is the top-of-the-line service person. And when I saw her, that's right, I got my complimentary loaner. I've got my dynamic wheel protection, my key replacement, my guaranteed purchase officer offer, and I didn't even need to use my 72-hour exchange, which are all benefits you get when you go to Warren Henry, but I didn't need them. Not yet, at least. I got them all. So give me a call. Oh, my goodness, I messed up. I apologize to my friends at Warren Henry. I messed up. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Oh, I'm not trying to make you stay, baby. But I know somehow, someday, some way, you're
gonna miss my loving.
You're gonna miss my loving.
You're gonna miss my
loving.
Back to school. Shopping at School Mart.
Yes, it's back to school time for moms and dads. You'll find all your back to school needs at School Mart. What? You say it's your kids that are going back to school? We know better than that. You're the one that does all their homework, aren't you? What do you think? People are stupid? Like teachers are stupid? Like they don't know that you were the one that was up till 4 a.m. finishing that report on zebras because your snotty kid waited until the last minute to do that report because he was too busy doing PlayStation all week? Huh? I mean, give the teachers some credit for crying out loud. I mean, these are smart people. You don't think they can figure out that your kids are getting hundreds on their homework paper and zeros on tests, that you're not doing this stuff for them? Okay? I mean, the teacher already figured out that no 12-year-old's gonna draw a zebra that perfect, okay? You traced it out of a book for them. So you know what? Why don't you just be honest with your kids, teachers, moms, and dads, because they know your kid's not that smart, okay? So my suggestion is, stop doing your kids' homework for them! But if you are going to continue to do it, you'll find plenty of pens, pencils, papers, and notebooks for you moms and dads for back to school at School Mart.
Moms and dads, back to school time shopping at School Mart.
On 880, The Biz.
All right, and if you're looking for some real estate capital, give me a call. Just did it again, had a client call me. In fact, in this case, it was their lawyer. They had a client that had just found out that they were, well, just had a short time to live, and they had a real estate deal that had a lot of equity in a great location, and they needed to liquefy it real fast so that they could, well, just settle their estate. So I helped them solve that problem, and I think I'm going to be able to get that closed within just a couple of weeks for them. So if I can help you and your family solve a real estate problem, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
880 The Biz, where money talks.
You're listening to Freed on Business, voted one of the top 10 social media influencers for real estate. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right. Thank you so much for that fabulous introduction, Wanda. I really do appreciate it. We're on with one of my old friends here in the family office space. We're on with Ross O'Brien. He's the founder and CEO of Bonaventure Equity. And he is getting ready to run the Cannabis Dealmaker Summit, the Green Ignition Ventures, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Ross, welcome to the show. I'm sure I botched a bunch of your bona fides, but help me out there.
No, it's all great, Jim. Thanks so much for having me. Really excited. Thanks for the invitation. I don't know how to quite follow that fabulous introduction that you guys just put together, but that's awesome.
No, listen, really, and I want to give a quick shout out to our good friend David Reynolds, who has really helped to coordinate this. So, Listen, there's a whole bunch of things. You got a whole bunch of stakeholders, but why don't we just start by giving people an overview of the cannabis economy? Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing out there.
Sure. Well, and thanks very much for using that phrase, the cannabis economy. It's actually something that came up out of a lot of the research that I've been doing. As you'd mentioned earlier, I've actually just finished writing a book for Entrepreneur Press called Cannabis Capital, which is the first book on venture capital for cannabis. And that comes out in January. And one of the things that we had to do when I was doing the research is kind of step back and say, you know, I think people are making a mistake when they characterize cannabis as an industry. And so I'm actually going to be the first to publish on this concept of the cannabis economy. And what that means, Jim, is essentially cannabis is so ubiquitous and it's a new resource now that's coming online that it's essentially impacting every incumbent industry and defining new industries along the way. So we look at cannabis as an economy. Within that there are sectors, and within sectors there are industries. Some of them are existing industries that are now adapting to utilize cannabis, and some of them are new industries that are developing to maximize the accessibility of cannabis that's just become a global wave and momentum.
Well, I got to tell you, Ross, I sit on the University of Florida Center for Real Estate Studies board. I think I need to get you up there to talk to everybody because you just defined it. You're now officially a professor. That's amazing. That's so right on. You know, a lot of times I compare it to being at the front end of fax machines or cell phones. I mean, cell phones, which were two things that totally revolutionized business and communications. But I still don't think they had the revolutionary multiple effect that the cannabis economy can. I mean, for goodness sakes, it's even something we can use to address climate change.
A million percent, Jim. And I think what's interesting is I have yet to find anyone that can identify an industry that isn't going to have some impact or some influence or be influenced by the accessibility of cannabis. Even in the U.S., where it's still not federally legal, you know, we're looking at the policy regulations, not-for-profits, you know, marketing, the telecom industry. Everybody is
agriculture. Agriculture.
Well, of course, that's where it all begins, right? You know, but it's the same way that, you know, when a new resource comes online, you know, that there are companies, I don't know if you'd consider John Deere an agricultural business or an equipment business, but they're fundamentally a result of agriculture being developed in an economic way.
Yeah, 100%. There's so many more. I get all these calls from people that want to invest in cannabis land to grow cannabis and this and that and the other. And I tell them, ho, let's go slow here, big boy. But let's talk a little bit about what those people really need. What they really need is cannabis venture capital. Now, I've run into a couple of folks that talk about it, a $20 million fund, a $50 million fund, but that's nowhere near the fund sizes that I see for other more established, I got to call it industries, at least in that regard.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, what's going on there, Ross? How about the availability of capital? Which just today I got asked how I would price a resale of a first mortgage on two cannabis dispensaries in Colorado. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I'd be shocked in your line of business on the real estate side if cannabis real estate doesn't become a massive part of your practice. It's just happening everywhere. And it's still being defined, right? So this is what's exciting about it, but this is also what the challenges are for investors, is there's a lot of moving elements to this. And the playing field is changing, and regulations are adapting, and it's great that they're coming on in the way that they're coming on. In fact, I think Florida has been one of the most, you know, well-launched states as far as the medical marijuana and the onboarding of medical users and the way in which they're viewing, vertical integration, some of these issues. But without getting too technical, what I would say to your question, Jim, is this is why we ended up setting up a fund, because, as you know, and you mentioned earlier, my whole background is working with family offices, helping them in their self-directed venture capital, private equity, and real estate investing. And it came to a point where I not only had a personal interest in cannabis for a long time and had been looking at, private company investing in that space, but our investors were saying, look, we want to go play. And play being pejorative, but want to go, take write real checks and take real risk and look at it through the ways in which we've generated returns in other direct investing strategies. And what ended up happening is we said, look, you'd be silly to go take some rifle shots and bet on one thing. You need to have a bit of a diversification, a bit of a portfolio strategy. And, there are certain businesses that touch the plant. There are businesses that don't. So when you start to look at the whole, economy and then sectors and industries that you can invest within that, you really have to go broad and deep in order to define, ways to generate returns. And so we came out of the side of the equation saying it's a great opportunity for traditional venture capital, because the venture funds that are out there already investing in, software and other, traditional industries are otherwise sitting on the sidelines or prohibited from investing because of the federal regulatory overhang. And so there's an opportunity for some of these funds, like you said, where, we fall in that $50 million fund size, to come out and actually be cannabis committed in the way in which we design our investment thesis, source our transactions, price them, invest in them, and then help manage those portfolio of companies.
Now while I've been working in helping families invest in real estate, the one thing that we typically look for in the transaction is who is the, I gotta say it this way, the jockey, the sponsor. And what I've seen in cannabis is that there haven't been a lot of full cycle executions yet where somebody can say, I've been successful, I executed, and I did well. I know one entrepreneur in particular who has done this, and I've seen an incredible demand for his services and attention, because the number one way you raise capital is around a sophisticated, established entrepreneur. How are you finding the entrepreneurs to build your deals around?
That's such a great question. And in fairness, it's part of the reason that, we didn't get to the finish line 3, 4, 5 years ago when we were looking at some cannabis companies. We were just waiting to see a bit of a maturation in the management teams that were, similar to the types of management teams that we would have backed in other sectors and industries like healthcare, for example, exactly, where we've done a lot of transactions. So the good news is these companies are now getting to an inflection point where they're growing in size and scope. We really like the talent that's developing, both from the people that have been in the cannabis arena pre-legalization, but also people from other sectors that are now coming in and saying, look, I want to apply a business lens to some of the opportunity set that's out there. And quite frankly, Jim, is why I actually wrote the book. It's a passion project that I took on because I was still finding that there was a lack of fidelity in the conversation between some of the entrepreneurs and some of the investment groups, where we just had to get some alignment around, core fundamental concepts. Yes. on the financing side. So yes, that's what the book is really for, is to, bring forward some of those traditional strategies that work in private company investing and then apply them to the dynamic that is developing in cannabis.
Well, Ross, we're here up against the break. I'm hoping you can stick with me at least for one more segment, maybe two. We're never going to get through all your ideas. We're going to have you back. But please, can you stick with us for a little bit longer?
Of course, Jim. Would love to. Thanks.
Awesome. Wanda, take us away, bring us back. Boy, this stuff is great, and there's just the tip of the iceberg so far.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler, about taking all summer just to try to earn a dollar.
He's been gone for so long, you're finally bringing Elvis back. not Elvis?
No, it's, we're still hanging with Brian Setzer.
Loud enough. I'm sorry, Wanda. I couldn't hear who it was.
Oh, it's okay. I'm just throwing some Brian Setzer in the mix, and he's very Elvis-like.
He is. I thought it was Elvis.
He's very Elvis-like.
He's tremendous. We've got to get the King back on the show, Wanda.
We will.
Okay, thank you. Hey, everybody. The King for me in autos is Warren Henry, because when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. As you know, they've got the Audis up in Gainesville, and boy, those are some hot cars. And down in Key West, well, they've got them all. I love the Jeep store down there, but they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means you get complimentary service loaner, you get dynamic wheel protection, you get key replacement. Those keys are expensive, you know. Guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and of course the 72-hour exchange. If you think you want to exchange your car, they give you 3 days to do it. But what I really want to say is that you just need to join me, my mom, my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Jim Freed.
Today's show is brought to you by Throwback Thursday. Remember oversized suits with puffy shoulders in the 80s? What the hell were we thinking?
And Wanda Miles.
Now, pardon me while I pierce my nose and get another tattoo.
On 880, The Biz.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful. You're smart. You are awesome. And you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting. Be strong. Be brave. Be awesome. Be daring. Be kind. Choose kindness.
All right, and if you need some help with real estate capital, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Our private sources of capital are ready to help you with your real estate deal. What was the submission I got today? Well, the submission I got today was somebody who needs some help financing their townhome development, and the person is from overseas. That's right, overseas, but they have a lot of equity in the deal. They just need a little help getting to the finish line. That's my client. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. I'd love to help you solve your real estate challenge as well, because when you call me at 305-773-6300,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
I am so excited here today. We've got a good friend. He's got a good handle on the cannabis industry, and he's got some great ideas, including his cutting-edge approach of calling it the cannabis economy. I want to welcome back my friend, Ross O'Brien, founder and CEO of Bonaventure Equity. Welcome back, Ross.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, now, listen, you're forward in your book, and you're writing, you're writing the book on cannabis investing, especially from the family office standpoint. Why did you have Vicente Fox, the former president of Mexico, get involved with you on this?
Such a great question, and we're really grateful for the relationship with him and Mrs. Fox and their foundation. And, you know, it started because part of what we also have, as you mentioned earlier, is the Cannabis Dealmakers Summits, or CDS, and just CannabisDealmakers.com, which is the event series that we host. And one of the things that we felt is it was such a nascent investment arena that we needed to be convening the other investors, the family offices, and bring them together around this event series. It's really taken off. And we always want to bring forward the best and brightest and get access to the people that are leading the industry, not just from the investment standpoint, but the investment bankers, the attorneys, the cutting edge CEOs, policymakers, and regulators. And it was through that process that we got introduced to President Fox initially and had him come to Palm Beach for a private event that we held at a residence here that was, you know, hugely successful. Got to spend a lot of time with him and his people. And, you know, for him, cannabis advocacy is a huge part of his, you know, private life and foundation platform going forward. And we just love the passion. You know, he really believes, and we agree that, you know, the legalization of cannabis is going to have, you know, vast economic impact on the youth of Mexico and the people in his country. And we just love the ethos. And because of that, we started talking about our investment strategies, and it made a lot of sense for us because we have a mission to create $1 billion in value and positively impact 1 billion lives. And in order to impact 1 billion lives, we need to have an international lens to everything that we do. And so we're always looking at companies that have an opportunity to go to an international scope, and having a relationship with him that can help us open up some really key relationships in Mexico and Latin America just made a ton of sense.
You know, the other thing that it seems like this really is it's something that all of these family offices are starting to focus on, impact investing. This is impact investing. The impact you can have on the world.
Without question.
From economic, from an environmental, from a medicinal standpoint is tremendous. Thoughts?
100%, Jim, and that's really insightful to key off of that. And you know the family office space really well, and I think that's why we've always connected. You know, impact investing is important because it's not just enough to be able to, you know, write big checks. There has to be some purpose behind it. And when we looked at setting up our fund, the reason we have this mandate for the billion lives and $1 billion is because we couldn't otherwise differentiate the mission and the purpose of why we're going to do this. And then if I look back at a lot of the stuff that I've done in healthcare from an investing standpoint and working with, you know, great investment partners and family offices and companies over the years, you know, it was always those businesses that had the, you know, the personal touch or the businesses that had the ability to positively impact people's health outcomes. And so we started to look at what's happening with respect to cannabis and the healthcare applications. And honestly, Jim, I think we're just starting to, you know, it's the tip of the iceberg, like you said before the break. I mean, in terms of what the opportunity is for cannabis to be used both as a nutraceutical but also as a pharmaceutical component is going to have huge impact on people's lives and their healthcare.
Listen, I completely agree. My wife had that kidney transplant 18 months ago. She was starting to have a problem with high blood pressure. We weren't able to get her to her medical team fast enough because you just can only make these appointments and get them done so quickly. And the reality is that we just had to wait. And while we were waiting, we consulted with the nephrologist, we consulted with her PCP, we consulted with Dr. Michelle, the marijuana aficionado, she's on the statewide board, and we came up with the fact that if I gave her a combination, a certain dosing of THC and CBD, that it would help lower her blood pressure. And it really did. It bridged her to the pharmaceuticals that they're now giving her. And we're not double-dipping. Yep. We took her off of the bridge medication. It's It's a fantastic alternative medical solution.
Well, Jim, you'll love this. I was back in Canada visiting my parents in British Columbia a few weeks ago or a month ago or so, and I took my 74-year-old mom for the first time to a dispensary to buy some CBD. You know, she never touched a drop of alcohol, never had any, you know, this is nothing to do with the recreational side. Her friends and her trainer at her gym, they're all seeing the benefit from it. So it's really interesting to see people gravitate to it. And look, it's a really interesting, I think personally, a very healthy alternative to some of the heavier, you know, prescriptions that people get going into pretty quickly.
100%. Look, the reality is, and I think a bunch of us will agree, is that it's an amazing alternative to opioids. And let's face it, one of the big problems in America today is opioid addiction. And this is a very, very viable alternative. I talk to the folks at UHealth all the time in their pain management department. In fact, that's where Dr. Michelle got her training. Now, we've talked a little bit about that, and we've only got a couple minutes left in this segment. That's the way I angle in to try to get you to stay on longer. You know, let's talk a little bit about the regulations and policy environment, because everybody goes, well, you know, recreational's coming and banking is coming. And what's really going on, Ross? I think you talk to these folks a little bit more than most people do.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time up in D.C. trying to pay attention to what's happening at the federal level and then in the states where we are. Investing in businesses and doing due diligence on businesses right now, we try to get pretty pretty detailed insights from the regulators. Look, this is a much broader conversation, but what I will say is my takeaways are cannabis is largely the only bipartisan issue that's in Washington right now. Wow. I was there for the Safe Banking Act vote, and what that essentially means is that states that have legal cannabis businesses, both medical and recreational, need access to the traditional banking system. And it was one of these things where, you know, it was a complete landslide on both sides of the aisle. Everybody saw the economic benefit, the, you know, financial benefit, the societal benefits of it. And it's one of the things that I'm excited to see is really uniting people on both sides of the aisle from a federal standpoint. And I think it has to happen. It's just the right thing to do.
Well, there's so many reasons that we have to open up the banking system to everybody involved in the cannabis industry, from public safety to just veracity in reporting. Let's just call a spade a spade. Now, there is some other stuff that I wanted to get to today. Let me see. I want to make sure I've got the question the right way, exactly the right way I wanted to ask it. Capital markets and the opportunity. There's got to be a tremendous capital markets opportunity here, but it doesn't come until there's an established venture capital market, I would think. What do you think about that, Ross?
Yeah, so if you're talking about the, you know, the public markets for cannabis stocks right now, mm-hmm. you know, obviously our entire investment thesis is predicated on investing in private companies, which is venture, right? So
yes.
At some point, you know, IPOs and the public markets will become very meaningful. Look, there's been some wonderful success stories. I think there is a lot of what's good to see is there's a lot of investor interest, excitement, and at times I think a little irrational exuberance as well in the public market. So I think there's a lot to sort of shake out and see where it goes. You know, I certainly think that part of what the Safe Banking Act will be able to empower is for a lot more companies to not have to go to Canadian exchanges, but to be able to get access to the public markets in the U.S. And I think that's just a really good thing all in all.
I think access to capital is one of the most important things. And in doing so in a safe and efficient manner, just reduces the price of capital and it reduces the price of the end product if you can get it. The capital a little bit cheaper. Now, I do want to talk about something I brushed on earlier, but that I think is still an important issue that we should talk about again. And that's how are we going to develop the good, solid, investable cannabis entrepreneur?
Yeah, so that's something we're super passionate about. You know, as somebody who's been stricken with the entrepreneurial people like to glamorize it. I was going to say some less glamorous things, but you know, someone who started a restaurant when I was 19 at home in Canada, I've always been, you know, sort of on that path, and it's not as glamorous as people make it out to be. So it's something that I just have a personal mission for, which is to ensure that entrepreneurs early on in their careers are getting access to the best resources that they have. And, you know, when I first moved down to South Florida, I did some teaching at FAU and launched the Tech Runway down there. And I'm down there because I'm up in West Palm. It's north of me, right?
It's up for me, but down for you.
Right. So the important thing, so what I'm trying to say, Jim, is and this is why the book was such an important project, is it's about education, it's about community, it's about giving access to, you know, the right resources, it's about, you know, clearing the hurdles that are otherwise unnecessary now that we know what we know and continue to emerge just from an overall vantage point from entrepreneurship. But look, there's all kinds of programs opening up everywhere. You know, we're seeing a really nice synergy between people that have been part of the cannabis economy, you know, back to the Prohibition era, and we're seeing, you know, really successful entrepreneurs from other markets come, and when they converge, Jim, you get a really powerful 1+1=3.
Listen, can you stick for one more segment, because I want to get to
you
assess risk and things like that. I think it's tremendous for people to understand, especially investors. Thank you so much, Ross. I appreciate it for hanging around. Well, one more segment. Wanda, rock the house. We're coming back with Ross as soon as possible. He's got some great stuff. Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every vintage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Gainesville, that's where they got their Audi store. Key West, they got all kinds of brands down there, including Jeep. That's right. They're all exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, the dynamic wheel protection. You get a key replacement guarantee. You get a purchase offer guarantee. You get the best value guarantee. You get a 72-hour exchange. You can exchange your car after 3 days if you just don't like it. Wow, that's just tremendous. That's reasons galore that you should join me, my wife, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Is this not David Lee Roth?
It is.
I knew.
And Van Halen.
I figured. All right, and I'm Jim Fried. And if you need real estate finance help, just give me a call at 305-773-6300. You're hearing me talk to one of my good contacts, Ross, in the family office world. There's a reason. It takes a long-term relationship-building effort to make it in the family office business, and Ross and his team have done that. That's where I get my private lenders. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Let me and my private lenders help you through your real estate transaction issues. Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Fried on Business, voted one of the top 10 social media influencers for real estate. Now, here's your host, Jim Fried.
All right, thank you so much, Wanda. And I want to welcome everybody back to our final segment with my friend Ross O'Brien. He's the founder and CEO of Bonaventure Equity. Beyond that, he's a thought leader and a market leader in the emerging cannabis economy. Ross, welcome back for our final segment with you today.
Thanks, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure. Now, listen, I wanted to talk about how you value these unusual situations. It's a growth industry. There's lots of different things going on at once. There's a lot of different components of risk. What do you look at when you're trying to evaluate cannabis opportunity and the risk involved with it?
So it's such a great question, Jim, and we could probably spend 3 hours on, you know, just scratching the surface.
Another show.
I like all your questions. I see what's happening here.
All right.
But let's tee it up like this. I mean, so what you're really talking about is, as a venture investor, we have to look at how to value a company that otherwise doesn't have an explicit marketplace or an efficient marketplace where the securities have a value that other investors also agree or disagree with, right?
100%.
So what you're really talking about is private company valuation. And private company valuation is nothing more than an articulation of risk. And in a private company, valuation is negotiated. You know, it's that old, what's something worth? It's what somebody will pay for it. You know, it's a challenge because you want to have good alignment between the management teams and the investors. And certainly, you know, we look for that kind of alignment when we invest. We don't want, you know, a misalignment by trying to, you know, get things out of whack. But essentially what you're doing is assessing the risk, quantitative, qualitative, market risk, management risk, you know, a whole variety. And you build that mosaic and you say, look, I need to seek a risk-adjusted rate of return. You know, the traditional venture capital of Silicon Valley, you know, typically, you know, is going to have 20%, maybe 30% of their investments just go to business outright, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's got a batting average.
Right.
And so the professionals that have been doing this for a really long time have to say, okay, if I'm gonna, you know, swing and miss on at least, you know, 20% or 30% of my portfolio, and by the way, it's only 20% or less that actually create the big returns, right, in traditional venture.
Yes.
A little different in cannabis because we've got more stable businesses and we're not really investing in the same kind of level of disruption. But the concept, Jim, is simply that you got to kind of have a risk-adjusted rate of return that allows you to capture and take the risk and accept the fact that some of them aren't going to be winners.
Wow. Listen, I really, if we could just go back and talk a little bit more about your original concept, because, you know, this is an hour-long show and there's a lot of people that have probably tuned in and gotten interested. I want to go back to your original concept of the cannabis economy versus the cannabis industry. Could you please go over that just one more time? That was terrific stuff.
Sure, I'm happy to, and I'll actually add into that the emerging cannabis venture capital industry, as cannabis venture capital, I think, is actually defining itself as an investment that's a little different from incumbent venture capital, and I think that's important too. But essentially, you know, the accessibility of cannabis, the regulation and the decriminalization of it that's happening, you know, in on the state level, the federal level in certain countries like Canada, you know, it's creating an entire environment of business that transcends just a specific industry. So we look at cannabis as an economy, and because of the accessibility of cannabis and cannabis coming into the marketplace, that economy will then have sectors and industries that emerge within those sectors.
Ross,
so to give you an example, go ahead.
No, give me one example. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if we look at consumer products, right? So consumer products is an industry that already exists. However, with cannabis and the cannabis economy, you now have the ability to look at products that are designed specifically for the consumer that is tailored to cannabis. So it may not even touch the plant. It could be, you know, there's some great companies like Kush out there that have, you know, packaging that's specific. You've got the vape pens and things like this that are developing. Those become consumer products. So the question is do you line that up and say that's a cannabis industry business or that's a consumer products industry business? And the way we look at it is that from our lens as a cannabis first, industry second investor, which is how cannabis venture capital is emerging, that we're going to look for cannabis businesses first and then look at incumbent industries that they can impact and what's going to happen there. I think what will happen over time is traditional venture will stick to the industries that they're used to and then say, okay, they're industry first and then cannabis second. Does that make sense?
It certainly does, and I'm getting the signal from Wanda that we're running out of time. Can you give me just the 30 seconds on the Cannabis Dealmakers Summit? Because I got to go to that.
Yeah, man, come join us. And our next one's in Dallas on September 5th. We'll be doing another one in Miami that we're about to announce in early November, and then a bigger one in Miami in the end of January. And the Cannabis Dealmakers Summit is a series of events. It's at cannabisdealmakers.com. We convene the best and brightest and the thought leaders, the investors, the investment bankers, the attorneys, the people that we transact with. We bring the leading entrepreneurs, regulators, policymakers, thought leaders, and industry icons. We've had Cheech at our event in San Diego. We've had Ted Chung, Snoop Dogg's manager, come and speak with us, and obviously Vicente Fox. So we're covering a lot of ground, and we'd love to have you come and join us. An open invitation for your listeners. If they'd like to come to any of our events, they can email me directly at ross@bvequity.com, and I'd be happy to give them a complimentary access.
Oh, thank you so much, Ross. I really do appreciate it. I'll be going to Miami, and my goodness, I'd love to go to Dallas, too. We'll have to talk that off.
Let's do it.
Off air, but thank you so much, Ross. I really do appreciate Ross O'Brien. He is the man that is writing the book and has written the book on cannabis investing for family offices. Ross, thanks for being on, and I'm looking forward to getting to a whole lot more that we left on the bone with this.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
It's my absolute pleasure. And thanks again for David Reynolds for putting this all together for us. Ross, I'll be talking to you next week. We'll coordinate on some of those events.
You got it.
All right, Wanda, take it away. We've got Jeff Glusman, financial advisor to the sports stars, up next after this. It's going to be tremendous. Thank you, Wanda. Can't tell you how much I appreciated that. What else I appreciate
it does feel
a
little better.
It was the awesome service May Stark gave me at Warren Henry this week. Thank you so much, May, and thank you so much for my good friends at Warren Henry. It's great to be part of the Warren Henry family. Hey, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar up in Gainesville. They've got Audi. Down in Key West, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry advantage. That means complimentary... Oops. What that means is complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and of course the famous 72-hour exchange. So join me, my wife, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. Me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We are all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best service. Always the best price. Always Warren Henry.
Must have stomped on his head with those blue suede shoes.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
I want a homeless boyfriend. I want someone who doesn't have a cell phone or internet access. I want someone who I can talk to without emails, webcams, text messages, instant messages, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I just want to sit under a bridge, drink cheap wine, and carry on a conversation without entering a password. I have so many passwords, I have a password-protected website that stores my passwords. So I literally need a password to get my passwords. Homeless people don't need passwords, just a piece of cardboard and a magic marker. I bet living in a box down by the railroad tracks with my unwashed gentleman lover would really be peaceful. Unless Time Warner showed up to install cable. Oh, I think my brain needs to reboot. Of course, I'll probably need a password to get it going again.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
On 880, The Biz.
Wanda, where do you get that
every
stuff?
Every day, that's my head.
Unbelievable.
I have to write them down now.
Unbelievable.
I've given up on passwords.
Unbelievable. I have them written down, too,
passwords.
All over the place. One password that's universal is just a bad thing, as our cybersecurity experts have always said. Just don't make it easy to guess if you're only going to have one.
Elvis 888.
Hey, everybody, give me a call if I can help you out with your real estate transaction. You can call me at 305-773-6300. Why would you call me? Because I help all my friends get their real estate deals done. Sometimes, most of the times, it only takes one phone call. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Hi, everybody. We're back. Thank you so much, Wanda. We're here with an old friend, a good friend, and a guest we've had on a little while ago, but it's been too long. We're on with Level 4 Sports and Entertainment Practice Director, Jeffrey Glusman. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, and thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're traveling, but we really do appreciate you calling. And now, Jeff, tell me a little bit about Level 4 Sports. You offer services to athletes, entertainers, and their families, right?
That's right. Traded a private client group, really catering to that niche. As you know from the Merrill Lynch and SunTrust days, it's more of a family office environment where we're able to boutique shop to go where we need to go for our clients and be a one-stop shop. And a great establishment the past 3 months to getting this division rolling of an RIA that's been around for about 18 years. So very excited about it.
You know, Jeff, your tagline is changing the way financial advice is delivered. What are you doing to change the way that to change the game here?
Well, there's been a major conversion the past 5 years from broker-dealers and banks to registered investment advisors, whether it's the fiduciary component or the ability for us to go for truly the best available for our client rather than proprietary products. So that family office service, that what's in the client's best interest model is, I think, a paradigm that most clients with high net worth in sports and entertainment are seeing rapidly changing every day.
So then basically what you do is you tailor the situation to each person's needs, because I guess they've got to be different.
Well, they do, and that's where fiduciary comes in play with an RIA, Registered Investment Advisor. There's no proprietary product. There's no research internally that has to be followed. It's truly best for client transparency in all regard, from fee to solution to cost overall, and giving them the best in class always.
Now, Jeff, let's take a step back. Let's talk about your background. I know you've been in the financial services business since about the turn of the century. Makes me feel old to say the turn of the century. And you've been directing the sports and entertainment division and operations, and that covers all kinds of different stuff. Tell me a little bit about how you got started.
Well, started off in Merrill Lynch back in 2001 and had about a 16, 17-year run there, and had an opportunity to join the SunTrust Sports and Entertainment Group based out of Atlanta, a truly focused and specialized group. And got to learn a little bit more about the inner workings of underwriting clients when it comes to their finances, their debt management, liability management. Was approached by this RIA with an opportunity to take our platform of education at different venues and all-star games and professional teams and bring it to this more boutique and an intimate environment where we're serving multiple families. So it's been a change in regard to the size of the organization, but the priorities of the client being first are still really focused on.
Now, I know you put together your own, I gotta just say it this way, team, since you're dealing with team sports. Tell us how your team got put together, you being, I guess, the head coach.
Sure. Well, infrastructure is important when we're building out this division. Austin Murphy, DeLon Turner, Chris Faka, Josh Hampton, really the team we've put together of professionals and specialists on the team, from Todd, Luke, everyone that has a job and a role, much like you would say on a general team. There's a head coach, there's position coaches, there's coordinators. The way we look at this is my job is not to know everything about specific things. It's to know everything about the client and to have the infrastructure to go to my team and say, what can we deliver? So we're still a couple pieces of human capital away from being completed, but I think if you look at what we've added over the past 90 days and what we'll add over the next 90 days, will be tough for most people to compete with in regards to education, experience, and platform.
Wow, Jeff, how does somebody get started in this?
I would say really it's a matter of experience, just like anything else. It's not, and I've said this to you before, it's not a first job, it's a last job. Understanding people, understanding our space and our niche is 0.00034% of every kid out there has actually got a chance to become an NBA player. So if there's 600 people in the world that play in the National Basketball Association, realizing these aren't like having doctors or engineers or architects as clients. It's truly a focus, and it's something that a sports and management degree out of college isn't what makes it. What makes it is spending a lot of time in the mailroom and learning a lot, and then learning how to develop relationships with a very small group of people that have a very difficult time trusting people as they should, protecting their money.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the family office services, because what you've got is people that may not be used to having a whole bunch of money. Suddenly they come into money. They have a lot of competing interests, a lot of, I would say, maybe lack of focus on how to deal with this. How do you come in and help them not only keep the money, but grow the money and maybe manage some of the conflicts they have to deal with?
Well, the term family office, really when broken down, is a focus of a team that works to serve the needs of the client and their families. So instead of driving to them what we can do, we look to the client and say, what is it that you would like us to do and would expect us to do? And then usually we'll be able to tell them about other services or other platforms that maybe they haven't thought about, whether it's referring an accountant or an attorney, whether it's deep diving into estate planning for generational or dynasty wealth, or maybe just the titling of assets, whether it's LLCs to own their homes or their cars to protect them from the potential liability of human nature every day. So that family office or multifamily office, it's us being very selective to look for clients and families that want to follow a path to success, but understand that we're here to listen. Some clients want us to take care of their families, meaning how are you going to protect them from being a liability to me and causing themselves and myself to go broke? And some of our clients don't want interaction with their families. They're going to handle it themselves, and they just want to know what can they afford to do and then they can dictate who they give what to.
Yeah, you know, it's always a big sad story when you read about somebody that's made $100 million in playing sports and then is being sued for back payment of alimony or child support. It's just horrible to watch the things that happen to these folks. We've only got a couple of minutes left, Jeffrey. Can you tell us kind of a neat story about the way you've helped one of your clients and really give them something that they can self-actualize with beyond just their professional ball playing or entertaining?
I think that it's not necessarily one story, but I think it's a collective feedback that I get from clients and have gotten over these past two decades. They want people like us that are actually looking at what they're doing to call them out when they're not drawing with between the lines. They want advisors that call them and say, hey, I noticed that you bought a Louis Vuitton bag. How's that going to fit into the budget? Or you're over this month. Or better yet, that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I always enjoy touching base with a client and bringing up a spend that they had recently that we didn't communicate about when they had this epiphany as if an omnipotent, omniscient financial advisor that knows everything. And I explain to them that my job is to know what they're doing and not to be a yes guy and not to tell them what they want to hear, but in fact to tell them, hey, you're spending too much, or hey, you're spending exactly what you should be spending. And to make them laugh about it, because in the moment, it doesn't matter. It's the repeated act that can cause a problem. So I think that the trip I'm on right now is a great example. It's exciting to meet families and young men that are 19, 20, 21 years old and have been having the Friday Night Lights dreams their entire life. And God bless them, they've actually made it to where they get to see what's it going to look like if then.
What's your trip? What trip are you on, Jeff?
Up in Atlanta today, going up to about an hour and a half northeast, just off of the Alpharetta Market, meeting with the family of a young man who's an NBA hopeful, who's got a great life in front of him, who they'll tell you the financial literacy is there as far as business owners, but their understanding of the tax complications of the retirement programs in the NBA, what a real contract means after year two, year three, year four. Sometimes the insight a financial advisor can give and a wealth management team like ours can give is not as jaded per se as an agent who's going to come in and try to explain it their way in order to get a client versus our way, which is these are the facts. These taxes are what they are. Until you're free, this is what you get paid. So I'm excited about seeing them tonight.
Well, that's great. So just to wrap up, you're not really an agent. You're really somebody's financial coach.
That's exactly what we are. We're not agents at all, for that matter. We are financial coaches. I've been called coach by many clients in the past. And our job is to give advice and to give the best advice possible, to lead that horse to water, to dunk it, and to make sure it understands why it's good for it to drink.
Wow. That's great, Jeffrey. Hey, listen, man, I'm so glad that it's going great. I'm hoping that you can come back again sometime around after the new year when you get another break. And thank you so much for fitting us in on your big travel schedule today. And good luck in meeting with your new client and helping them understand the ins and outs of financial literacy for the entertainment and sports industry. Wow, what a tremendous show.
Thanks for having me on anytime. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Jim.
It's my pleasure, Jeff. Well, wow, what a tremendous show. Wanda, thank you so much for helping me put that together. I want to thank everybody. I want to start out by thanking our guests, Ross O'Brien and Jeffrey Glusman. I want to give a shout-out like we always do to our first responders. Thank you all, fire, police, fire, rescue, everybody for helping us. I want to thank our sponsors, Warren Henry Automotive, the NFL Alumni Association, Creco AI, Carlson Integrated, Deep Blocks, the Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies, and of course, I want to thank you, my listener. Please go to our Facebook page and like our show. Please tell your friends, join our community, give us feedback, comment, tell us who you want to hear from. Tweet at Jim Fried, at Fried on Business, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, oh, got them all. That's right, the website. Thank you to Carlson Integrated for putting that up. That's right. If you missed today's show, it'll be up on our webpage, freedombusiness.com. Oh, ASAP. Hey, this is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us on 8 a.m. next Thursday at 6. Why? I think you know, because I just love doing this. That's right, I sure do. Remember, the person that wants to do something finds a way, the other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. Wanda, it's yours.
Stay in touch with us through your smartphone. Get your 2-8-5-5 or 880 The Biz apps.
This is a Bloomberg Market Minute. You and stocks are mixed as a slide in tech companies offset a rally in bank shares. The Dow